been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show. The Jerome Powell old curmudgeon says a couple of words today that I didn't think I'd ever hear out of his mouth. Rate cut, and the market likes it so far. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And the markets are celebrating right now on this Friday with the Dow now up 653 points. How about that? Thank you, Jerome. Christmas comes early. The Dow is up 1.5%. The S&P is up 1.2%. The NASDAQ is up 1.3%. And, you know, it is hard to be grumpy up in the Jackson Hole with a view of the Tetons. That's some of the most beautiful area in all of America. And I guess Jerome Powell woke up on the right side of the bed here this morning. The Russell 2000 is up 0.75% today. Gold is down a little bit today. Crude oil's up a little today. And how is the bond market reacting to this news out of Jackson Hole? It's flat right now at 4.31. I think the bond market was expecting Jerome to be generous this morning. Maybe he's trying to save his job. I don't know. And last but not least, we got to look at Bitcoin, how it's reacting to the news. It's up $540 to $114,207. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And happy Friday. I didn't think Jerome had the ability to put two words together, rate and cut. But he did, and he mumbled those words this morning. You know, he grit his teeth as he said it. We might get a rate cut at the next meeting. And the market celebrates the news right now. So, hey, it's a good start to a weekend with the Dow up 1.4%, the NASDAQ up 1.3%. It's about time, Jerome. You know, it's been 9 months. And it's like giving birth to a baby, I guess, after a nine-month gestation. He's going through labor pains. Was able to get those words out of his mouth.
I was disappointed that it was happening. I was like looking at what time the speech was going to be, and it said 10 a.m. Eastern. And I'm like, oh, great, right when we start the show. And so, you know, at least if it's right when we start the show, at least the news, at least up until this point from what he said, has been positive for the market. It'd be a little even worse if and we're doing the show in the middle of a speech, and the market's you know, getting hit the other way. So
well, we'll see what the market. I mean, we were all expecting it, but it still had to be hard for him to say those two words, especially with Trump breathing down his neck. But we do have a good start here to the markets here on this Friday, and let's not forget. In the meantime, the ECB has cut like 9 times, and he hasn't delivered a rate cut now. He said it could be a possibility at the next meeting. So measured words still from stubborn Jerome, but maybe finally we're going to get that rate cut that we've been waiting so long for. You know, the markets really have been quiet all week. look how much power this guy has, right? Maybe the fly fishing did it. I don't know. Maybe he got out to that cowboy bar and sat at one of them saddles, decided to pony up. Well, anyways, we did have kind of a soft week here in the market this week. But we're also at the end of earnings season. The NASDAQ's been on a 43% run since March. You got to take that into consideration. The S&P's been on a 32% run since March. You have to take that into consideration. Yesterday, really the only sector in the market that I saw that was really working, a lot of breakouts yesterday in the gold mining stocks. Now, even though gold is not up, gold is pretty much cooled off and is trading in that 3,400 range, just under 3,400. You haven't done real well just investing in the shiny metal, but the gold stocks have had a good week and a lot of breakouts yesterday. I've got one that I'm going to talk about here today. They reported earnings, and you'd be surprised at how well this little gold stock has done over the last 1, 3, 5, and 10 years, which is the first place I look when I see a company report. What's your track record? What's it look like today? What's your batting average? How many RBIs have you driven in? How many home runs have you hit over the fence? And I've got a little gold stock. It's not so little. I think it's $10 billion or something like that. That has some pretty good numbers right now. I'd be looking to make a trade maybe if I had something that was underperforming in that sector. Okay, well, we got to look around the world. I haven't seen any progress on the Russia-Ukraine front. If anything, Putin's going back to his old self of blowing stuff up. That seems to be his way of speaking, is blowing things up. He likes to blow things up. And I'm disappointed in India. You know, Narendra Modi, who is pretty pro-business kind of guy, but buddying up to Russia, that doesn't look good on the world trade. India and Russia, on the world stage, India and Russia are going to bolster their trade ties. Not a good look, Narendra, despite Trump's ire over their oil purchases,
I see it as a bit selfish. I mean, in other words, you know, the reason they're buying the oil is because they're getting a great discount on oil buying it from Russia, right? And so, you know, in my mind, they're kind of doing, you know, what's helping them, but is kind of hurting, right, the rest of, you know, the rest of the world who's, you know, kind of band together against Russia's war in Ukraine. So
not it's, a good you know, luck. No. And, you know, and then they're turning around and selling it for a profit. And, you know, by doing that, every time Trump or Putin blows something up like he did yesterday way over in western Ukraine, mm-hmm. Where are they getting the money to do this, India? So I think maybe you ought to rethink your position there on buddying up to Trump.
At a minimum, public relations, not a good look. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, and I think we should sting them with tariffs until they knock it off, that kind of behavior. Okay, Germany, they count their GDP growth in tenths of a percent, not in full percentage points, like 3-4%, tenths of a percent, 0.2% year over year, at least it's growth, but that's where their GDP came in at. We're at around 3 right now. I think Germany is pretty heavy-handed on the regulations. It shows up, I believe, in their GDP. Instead of being very business friendly, I think they lean more towards the California model than the Texas model, I suppose you could say.
And they've been the growth engine of the growth EU engine. I mean, it's one, you know, it's one thing to, you know, say have, you know, France or one of these other ones have a low GDP, but I mean, you know, Germany has historically been the, you know, the growth engine of
Absolutely.
The EU, and for them to struggle, that's not a good look overall. So,
absolutely. Okay, so now and where the inflation is showing up is also kind of puzzling right now. It showed up in the UK yesterday over 3%. The last place you would expect inflation to show up would be Japan. Their core inflation went up by 3.1%. Where the heck is that coming from? And that has been a topic of angst this year, is the rise in Japanese interest rates. Their 10-year, which was sub-zero at one point,
close
it was
zero,
negative.
Yeah.
Right. It's now 1.5, and that has put a bit of a some brakes on the carry trade, mm-hmm. where you have these hedge funds borrowing from Japan at 1.5% and turning around and buying other companies or other countries' bonds, paying 4.5, 5, or even tech stocks, you know, with that cheap money out of Japan. 1.5 is still cheap, but not as cheap as it used to be.
Yeah, all I know is we better go ahead and get our plane tickets for the San Jose trip because Santa Clara trip because the highest inflation piece for the UK it showed up in airline
fare.
Was pretty interesting, right?
Yeah. Yes, and do I have the dates right? September 19th, 20th, and 21st.
It's 16th. It's actually the 16th.
I think you're wrong. Look that up. Get your calendar.
It's September 16th and 17th.
Forget Thursday.
Thursday's the 18th. Yeah.
Okay, there we go. I was looking at the wrong year when I gave the dates out yesterday. I'm always looking ahead like the market. September 16th, 17th, and 18th in Santa Clara.
That's correct.
That's going to be fun. Tuesday night's a workshop, and Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday open for one-hour appointments. We'll be right back.
I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show on this happy Jackson Hole. Powell finally says it, might get a rate cut at the next meeting, and the market likes it. We've blasted off here this morning here, Barry. We're up about 1% overall so far. Tech giants Google and Meta sign a $10 billion cloud deal spanning over 6 years. Now, how would you like to be the salesman that made that deal?
$10 billion.
What kind of a commission does he get on $10 billion?
You think he or she ended up? You think they're showing up to work today? They're probably like, I'm going to go ahead and take
do
a little
some
time
fly
off.
Fishing in Jackson Hole. I think Meta is up 1.2% on that news, but I think Google's the winner in that deal. Google is up 2.1%. You know, for me, Google is the cheapest of the big tech stocks with the P.E. ratio of just 23 and a forward P.E. ratio of about 20 right now. That's pretty dang cheap. That's the same price as Johnson & Johnson and Procter & Gamble, and you could have an Alphabet and a Google instead. You could have a V8 instead of a Studebaker. We do own Alphabet, which is a player in digital advertising, a player in AI. I mean, it's a player in search. It's a player. It's a big tech player. It's a quarter of a – it's a $2.4 trillion company, and we do like this stock at this price, and that's a good pickup for them. Not very nice a deal, and they are on the winning end of that deal, is Google. We own the G-O-O-G-L. There's two choices there, G-O-O-G. They don't really differ much. I don't really know what the difference is. I don't know. I guess one's voting stock and one is non-voting stock, but I don't vote anyway, so it doesn't matter on these corporate matters. I try to stay out of it. Sweden's Vattenfall, they have chosen GE Vernova or Rolls-Royce to build what? SMR nuclear reactors.
Wow.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's kind of these companies that are wannabes. There's a company with the symbol SMR, and, of course, there's Oklo, and they are, in the hunt for clients, trying to get contracts for at small nuclear reactors, but now we find out that GE Vernova and Rolls-Royce are already players in this industry. And I would say it's kind of hard for an Oklo or an SMR, unless they get a niche market, to compete against GE Vernova or Rolls-Royce. And by the way, Rolls-Royce is building a plant here in Aiken, South Carolina.
Yeah, and the production capacity. I mean, it's one thing to come up with the idea, hey, we're going to build this, you know, and test it, right? Make a few prototypes, but to start, you know, cranking them off the line, you got to usually have to have either a big investment or have a partner to with in doing it.
And then you look up up the line a ways, upstream, and you see you're competing with GE Vernova, which we do own, and you're competing with Rolls-Royce, which has been around for quite some time. By the way, Rolls-Royce is really, now that nuclear is the thing, Rolls-Royce over the last 10 years has been an 11% performer. Okay, that's what it's delivered. But check this out. Over the last 5 years, it's delivered 57% per year. No guarantees going in the rearview mirror. Over the last 3 years, RYCEY, notice that's five symbols, meaning it trades on the pink sheets here in America, but it trades plenty of volume. Over the last 5 years, it's averaged 57.3, and get this, over the last 3 years, it's averaged 145.4. How come you don't own it, Gunderson? Because I'm stupid, you know? I've looked at Rolls-Royce so many times and just decided we've got so many good nuclear-type stocks here in the U.S. Why do I need to invest in Rolls-Royce? Well, I should have invested in Rolls-Royce. It's up, over the last 12 months, it's up 121%. Okay, now you can look that up on Yahoo Finance, RYCEY. Let's see how many shares it's traded today. That may be the reason why I have, sometimes these stocks don't trade enough volume. Yeah, it's only, that is the reason why. It only has traded 67,000 shares, which isn't very much. I mean, to take a $5 to $8 million position in Rolls-Royce, you're going to have a hard time getting enough volume to handle that kind of a trade. But the chart is unbelievable of Rolls-Royce. So the little guy could definitely buy some in his own little IRA. Now, you do your own research. I'm just throwing that out. RYCEY. The market cap on RYCEY, just to put this into perspective for you, the market cap is 118. This is a large cap company out of the UK. You know, I think of Rolls-Royce, I think of those cars that, you know, my competitors are driving on Wall Street, the CEOs pulling up the, right? Selling those bond funds and driving those Rolls-Royces. What was the book? Why your advisor, the broker, the yachts, something about yachts and brokers, and where are the customers' yachts, or something to that effect.
Right.
Something like $118 billion Rolls-Royce. So that's a good contract for them. And I think that stamps them as players in the smaller nuclear reactor space. And while we're at it, let's look at GE Vernova. GE Vernova is up 1.6% today, and you had a pullback in GE Vernova here over the last 3 weeks, and we did take advantage of that pullback. We own it in our premier growth portfolio, and I look for opportunities to put new clients into it, and it was hitting a new all-time high 4 weeks ago, and I wasn't buying it. Then it pulled back from 677 to 600 area. And I pulled the trigger there for new clients, so now they own it.
Did you see what their earnings growth is? 2025, it's over 200%. Their earnings growth at GEV for 2026 is 68%, and 2027, 45%. So
yeah, and that goes up against a standard utility, right, which is 3 to 4% at best. It's basically whatever the population growth on the area that they serve. But you've got these hybrid utilities such as, GE Vernova's not exactly
they're selling
utility.
Into. Yeah, yeah, selling into them, but like Vistra, you know, great, you know, they make power a bunch of different ways, right? They've got some nuclear assets, they've got some, you know, traditional power assets, and so that's one of the reasons why they've blown up, you know, I mean, in a good way, gone up because of that. They've got a lot of different ways to make power. So.
Yes. Now, I saw other news here on this CHIPS Act. Oh, we're at it. Wow. Where did the first half of the show go? Yeah. I'm just getting warmed up. Well, I'm gonna have to talk at double speed when we come back. I'll take a couple of caffeine pills or something. We'll be right back. It's the Best Stocks Now show.
And the boys upstairs just don't understand anymore. Will the top red
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And if you haven't heard the news, Jerome Powell woke up on the right side of the bed today up in Jackson Hole. And he didn't promise a rate cut. He's never going to do that, stubborn old Jerome. But he did pretty much indicate that it's time to consider a rate cut. Okay. And I do see one of the ETFs I check out every day is the bond market ETF, which I use AGG as my proxy for that. It is having a good rally today. It's up 40 basis points. But again, you know, and Barry, when we get accounts that transfer to us, AGG is a widely held bond index fund. There's $129 billion in this ETF, one of the largest ETFs out there. Let's just compare it with QQQ. QQQ has $366 billion, and AGG has $129 billion. But the performance over the last 10 years is 1.65%. Average annual return over the last 10 years. You say, well, what about the last, how about recently? Has it been better? Well, the last 3 years has been 2.4%. That's counting your coupons and your price appreciation or depreciation, which is more the case here. So we favor owning individual bonds. So does Donald Trump, by the way.
Yeah, you read that off this week. In contrast, right? I mean, over the last 3-4 years, your yield to worst or yield to maturities, if you held something to maturity between, say, a 3 to 5 year, individual corporate, investment grade bond has been more in that, 5.5 to 5.8 range. So
yes,
your same type of exposure. You're just getting there a different way, and not having to not having that ETF structure kind of hinder you as we've
and there's talked trillions
about
of dollars tied up in bond funds with the asset allocation model that is so prevalent in today's marketplace. Why does it take a guy like me to point out this giant disparity between bond funds and owning the individual bonds when there's trillions of dollars that advisors like me have put people into with bond funds? I think it's time for an article. Maybe I'll task Barry with this one. Seeking Alpha has been bugging me lately for another
one. Yeah, probably.
It's been
a while.
Probably
ready for one, yeah.
Why? And here's the title. Why would anyone own a bond fund? Okay, there you go, Barry. There's your assignment
weekend. I'll get noodling on that, yeah.
Have at it. It's all you got to do is show the pictures from the app.
Right.
And you can back it up if you think the app is wrong. You can pull it right off of Schwab's website. Just click on the symbol, AGG, and it will show you the 1, 3, 5, 10-year performance. Okay, let's move on here. NVIDIA praises Taiwan semiconductor. Jensen Huang was in Taiwan yesterday visiting Taipei, and he says buying TSMC stock is very smart, would be a very smart thing to do. Well, hey, that makes me feel good because we do own Taiwan semiconductor, which makes about 90% of all the chips in the world. Taiwan's having a great day. It's up 2.7% right now, TSM. And, of course, Jensen Huang and Taiwan have a very tight connection. But not only are they both Taiwanese, but guess who makes Jensen Huang's chips? His NVIDIA Blackwell chips. And the other news that I saw out of NVIDIA, I don't know if it's impacting, they're going to stop making this H2O chip, which China's refusing to buy. So they said, okay, then we just won't make it anymore.
Yeah, they told their suppliers to slow production in terms of making it. And, on the other side, I've heard, that, of course, Chinese folks, they actually want to use it simply because, in terms of go-forward infrastructure and, where all these models are going, a lot of them are being made on an NVIDIA chip. And so for them to be, compatible or better compatible going forward, they kind of really need to use it, even though, the Chinese government doesn't want them to use it.
Yeah, so it's pretty close. It's pretty close to the Blackwell, really. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure when we go to the Silicon Valley
we'll get some info. Someone will
tell us just what's the gap between an H2O chip and the Blackwell chip.
Like we learned about rhodium's importance in exhaust systems.
We learned that from
in
auto
Detroit.
Industry.
Yeah,
in Detroit.
We'll hear about, we'll get some learning, boots on the ground info from folks over in Silicon Valley. Looking forward to it.
Well, Trump and Canada's Carney are discussing trade. Canada's kind of been stewing up there, stuck with the high tariffs that Trump saddled them with. And Carney does not like Trump. Trump does not like Carney, but they're talking. Even if you don't agree with somebody, you have to talk and work out differences. The two leaders had a productive and wide-ranging conversation about current trade challenges. So, I know we did fine-tune things a lot in Europe here over this last week, and that's helped the European stocks and the European markets somewhat here over the last. But I think that outperformance by Europe, that's an anomaly. I don't think that's going to continue. I think Europe still looks pretty good, but, they have very slow growth in Europe. Boeing St. Louis workers, well, you didn't know this, but Boeing has a plant in St. Louis that assembles F-15s and F-18s. They're on strike. We don't get that in South Carolina because it's a non-union plant, if I'm not mistaken, and that was part of our former governor bringing Boeing here, and Boeing is a major employer here in South Carolina, but they're halting jet fighter production as the workers go on strike in St. Louis, okay? Tesla's Cybertruck, their fastest Cybertruck variant, now costs $15,000 more. The new price is $115,000. I see some running around my neighborhood. I saw one upside down in my neighborhood about 3 weeks ago.
Really?
We were going
down
to church, and there was fire engines all over the place. Actually, it was on its side, and it was on fire. And I still have not found out what the story is there. I don't know if it was a marital dispute, and the guy was leaving at 100. That's kind of what it sounds like to me. But he was on his side. The wheels were still spinning. There was smoke coming out of it. He was okay.
Did he hit one of those speed bumps? I mean, you're getting about a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit at most in your neighborhood. So to get on your side, it must have been going fast and had to hit something. Wow.
Well, maybe, but that was a weird sight. Mm-hmm. This is a weird story. Cracker Barrel has a logo. I don't know if you saw this.
I did. Yeah.
Oak barrel and kind of a farmer kind of guy. And now they've tricked it up to look more modern, more welcoming, more inclusive. And everybody's having a hard time with Cracker Barrel's new logo.
They paid a steep price for it. You see how much? I think the stock dropped $200 million in a day. So.
Yes. The public greeted it. You know what? Look, I mean, Target is still paying the price, really.
You got to know your customer. I don't know what else to say in terms of, it's like you get these, no different than New Coke back in the day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get these marketing folks in a room and they think they've got the best idea ever, and then they get outside of the room and the rest of the room is like terrible idea.
Yeah, if that was my advertising agency, that's all they did. It's the same logo without all the graphics. It's just the lettering that says Cracker Barrel. And you know, I've never seen a stock go down 13% in one day because of a new logo. I would fire my advertising agency and say, you know what? But Cracker Barrel has deeper problems than just a new logo. They have no growth anymore. You know, I think time has passed them by. They're trying to freshen things up, but
they got rid of all the antiques off the walls. I've heard in certain, you know, in a lot of units now. I mean, I hope they don't get rid of the rocking chairs on the front. Yeah, I mean, the store is the best part of the whole place. I mean, the last two times I've been in there was literally to use the restroom on a trip, and you know, got a couple.
Yeah, the food's gone downhill.
Got some candy. Got some candy for the kids, and that was my experience. But
yes,
hopefully they don't get rid of the rocking chairs. That's
no, we have one up in the Myrtle Beach area, I just haven't been very excited to even stop in, but maybe I will if they got the new logo and the new look. I'll see if they've included, if a Norwegian like me feels inclusive when I walk in the joint. I just really care about the breakfast. Are the hash browns crisp and hot and good? I doubt it. I'm a Waffle House guy. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we still have a few stragglers coming in here on the earnings front. One of them is Workday, which is a pretty major tech-related stock in the Bay Area there. Workday, though, they have really lost their mojo, their growth. And it's showing up in the stock big time. You know, it's hard to support those high P.E. ratios. That's a lousy chart, horrible chart on Workday. And Workday is down 4% today after they reported their earnings. The worries at Workday persist as results and guidance show that their growth engine is stuck. You don't want to get your growth engine stuck. You want to keep the growth engine moving forward, if possible. But, you know, it's kind of fallen from grace, really. There's a few others in that category. Adobe is not the growth engine that it once was. And I would also put Salesforce definitely in that category. These are companies and stocks that Jeff Webster very familiar with. I'm sure he went up against these companies as he was working in that industry. And these were once high-flying stocks, but all three of them, for me anyways, have lost their growth. Now, the little gold stock that I was going to talk about today, GFI, it's been around. Goldfields is no stranger. They're in South Africa. You know, Goldfields, I said it was a billion. It's $27 billion company. It's a $27 billion growth, yes, growth gold stock. Now, I say that because listen to their last four quarters of sales growth. Okay, Workday would love to have sales growth like this. GFI has had 249%, 249%, 220%, and 220% growth in earnings over the last four quarters, or in sales, rather. And you love sales growth, but you also like to see it drop down to the bottom line. You'd like to see sales growth, and if anything, you'd like to see even stronger earnings growth, because usually as you increase your sales, and if you can keep your cost under control, your earnings should go up faster than your sales growth. We've got Goldfields with 38% growth in earnings over this last four quarters, 38%, 64%, and 64%. That's pretty good. You're not going to find a gold stock with a better growth rate. You know, usually gold stocks are pretty stodgy. They're pretty slow growth. Now, the old axiom goes something like this: earnings growth equals, in most cases, stock price appreciation. So let's put the theory to test here with Gold Fields. How has the stock performed? Well, over the last 10 years, an investment in GFI, according to the Best Stocks Now app, and this is where those all-important stats come from, 26.2% per year stock price appreciation. The S&P's been 21. Over the last 3 years, Gold Fields has been 56% per year returns to investors. And over the last 12 months, the stock's up 80%, which gives it an A-plus momentum grade, an A performance grade. This is, without a doubt, one of the, if you're into gold stocks, this stock is ranked number 318 overall based on performance and valuation. And that's against all stocks out there. And I would say if you were just looking at the gold stocks themselves, which you can do with the app, we can go to the sector rankings and we can go to precious metals. Let's just see for fun. What are the top ranked precious metal stocks? Agnico Eagle number one. Gold Fields is right there. It's ranked about number 8 overall in the gold sector. So you can take a look at those gold stocks, and if that's your cup of tea and you want to have some exposure, I would just say this. The gold stocks have performed much, much better, Barry, in this year than have the gold itself, the bullion itself. And that just makes sense. You know, if a company can do better with their reserves and their cost and whatnot,
and borrow money, they can also borrow money, right? And so their cost of capital, right, tends to be cheaper. So if they have some leverage, then they can, you know, can obviously leverage the if gold stays at a certain price, it doesn't matter if it
exactly
stays the same. If they can pull that, you know, pull that that gold out of the ground cheaper, well, then they've got a profit there. So,
and if they can ramp up getting the gold out of the ground when
faster
gold prices go up, they can kind
correct
of also trade the market a little bit.
Yep.
Now I know it kind of defeats the purpose of sewing gold into your clothes in case you've ever got to try to get out of the country or whatever by buying gold stocks. But if you're an investor, and you're buying for capital appreciation and growth in your portfolio, I like the gold stocks actually better than I like just buying the bullion itself, because like Barry said, they're able to leverage themselves on the fortunes of gold, whereas the gold bullion is just subject to the markets, the supply and demand of the market. So put Gold Fields GFI on your watch list. I think it pays a little dividend, 1.4%. And, of course, those total returns that I'm quoting here from the Best Stocks Now app also include those dividends. Okay, we ran out of time here. I'm working on Friday. I put a good get a good start on the newsletter for the weekend. I'll have we did some buying this past week. We did a little trimming here and there around the edges. You can see what we did in the newsletter. You can get 4 free weeks of the newsletter. The buys and sells that I make, I just send out alerts, is what I did. And, of course, full access to the app where you can look up the track record of every stock that you own or is owned by your advisor or has been bought by your advisor on your behalf. Check them out. Grade your advisor. How has the returns been of these stocks? Are you in a bunch of soggy stuff that really is hurting you? That relationship, I know that you savor so much, could be an expensive relationship. I've seen that in a lot of cases in my life here. Hey, you better sign up for the Santa Clara, either a 1 hour an appointment with us or that workshop, 855-611-BEST. ED is putting it all together. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.